the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. He's Mark Shapiro, and we're very pleased to be joined by Mark Shapiro. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Biggest series of the year for you guys?
I think it's easy to agree with that one. I mean, I hope there'll be bigger ones down the road, but to date, without a doubt, this is the biggest.
How do you deal, Mark, with the helplessness, you know, of being a president of a team at this stage of the year when you've got so much at stake and there's nothing you can do?
As always, you are surgical in your in your insight. That I've always felt, listen, that is the single hardest part of these jobs, is that, you know, you watch helplessly for the 3 to 4 hours that a game transpires. Actually, the actual game is probably the hardest, but throughout the day, there's so much to do. So, you know, whether it's, you know, on the baseball side, you know, preparing for instructional league, walking through key staff hires, you know, talking about our off-season planning process that's beginning, which I know we'll talk more about as our call today proceeds, or on the business side, you know, we're continuing to move forward on the long process of the re-envisioning of Rogers Center and the renovations here. So that spring training, there's a ton of things I can divert my anxiety during the day, but when I settle down to watch the game, guys, I'm a lot like anybody else that cares deeply. It's not fun for me. It's tough.
Mark, what do you see as being the reason for the offensive woes the team is experiencing lately?
You know, no one thing. You know, we've run into a rash of right-handed pitching that, you know, it's always been one of the issues. Our best hitters are, you know, and our team is heavily aligned right-handed. It's been a group of guys that have not had heavy splits, and for a long period of time, you know, that hasn't been an issue, you know, unless it's been the elite right-handers in the game. It's just a little bit of a dip at the wrong time. Again, something that I'm not concerned. When you still look back collectively at the group of work over the season, you know, we've got a group of hitters who are among the best in the big leagues.
Mark, I need to ask you a president question now, because, you know, it's and I will stepping back from, you know, the game tonight and the series tonight. But this has been a tremendous season for the business of the Toronto Blue Jays. That's pretty clear.
Yep.
Your attendance, leading the league in attendance, you know, and TV ratings are through the roof. I assume all the kind of peripherals in terms of revenue are great for you guys as well. What's the relationship between revenue/profits for this franchise and payroll?
I mean, there's a direct relation. It's a business like any other business. You know, here, obviously, and like every major league team, it's got its own set of unique operating circumstances. The greatest proof of answer to that, you know, Stephen, would be look at what the trade deadline offered us. It allowed us the opportunity to take on numerous players, to add a significant amount of payroll, and to consider adding even more payroll along the way. So, you know, when you add up even the smaller moves like a Navarro, but you look at guys, you know, some guys like Upton that were added for multiple years, you know, we were given, you know, the flexibility, or Liriano, that's, you know, an additional, you know, significant amount of money this year and money for next year. You know, I think the reason we were given the latitude to make additions at the trade deadline were because of the health of the business. So there's a direct correlation, and obviously that's a circular thing, because the better the team does, the better the revenues do. So it's a relationship that never really ends.
I just want to, you know, just to clarify that completely, Mark, because I know in other years, I think there was the sense that the team had a payroll ceiling, and that if it left itself enough wiggle room at the trade deadline, if they left some space there, that they could add salary up to that ceiling. I think what you're saying is that ceiling moved this year, correct?
Yeah, again, I can't speak to past years. This year, to me, operated like I've operated in the past, which is you sit down with the group of leaders from an ownership group that would be involved in a decision that has financial impact, and you sit down and you consider all the variables that are out there, both team performance, what the meaning of adding payroll and players would be, both to team performance as well as to the financials of this team and the broader ownership organization. And a decision was collectively made to continue to invest in the team beyond the initial payroll number.
Mark, you know, we've seen the dynamic in this division shift a little bit this season. You know, the Yankees loaded up in prospects. I mean, I think a lot of us thought they were waving the white flag and sort of setting themselves up for 2018 when that bonanza free agent class is going to be there. You know, the Red Sox, they've got a pretty good youthful core.
That's the understatement
of the year, exactly.
Quickly gloss over that one.
Yeah, we'll just kind of we'll coat that over very quickly. But does this change your view and ownership's view of what constitutes the Blue Jays' window of opportunity?
I can't speak for anyone other than me, and
okay.
Maybe Ross. I mean, I think that there's always a dual lens with how you look at running a baseball team. You know, one is today, right now, and there's a sense of urgency and a sense of understanding of the importance of winning. And whenever that opportunity presents itself, you know, you want to not think too much about what it means in the broader context of windows and how long they are. You just want to win. And I think that, you know, we've got a great team that is well positioned, and despite how it feels over the past week, which, you know, is like someone kicking me either in the gut or just below the gut. If you told me, during spring training that we'd be a game out of first place in a wild card with 25 games to play, I'd probably have told you, yeah, I'll sign up for that. That's a good spot to be in, especially in the AL East. But longer term, we're gonna have challenges. Knew that coming in. We've talked about it consistently. I don't think now's the time to dwell on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can trust that at this point, there's a baseball front office spending 90% of its time on how do we address those challenges. You know, what are the creative ways to get through that? To get through those challenges without interrupting competitiveness or the ability to contend. Is that possible? How will we do it? Those are the kinds of challenges that we were tasked with from the day we started here, understanding the implications of, what trades had meant in the past. And we're prepared, I think, to do everything humanly possible to push through that.
Mark, from the outside, what it appears is that there's a bit of a gap between you have some contractual realities with some players, with Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Martin, and commitments to those players. There's a gap between that and where your farm system is in terms of producing major league ready talent. That it's that you're not going to have a big surge of major league ready guys in the next year or two, probably. So, to kind of bridge that gap and stay competitive would require investment, probably.
Well, I mean, I think that can be dangerous. So I would say, A, that statement is relatively true. I don't think it's, to the point that we have no, major league ready talent. Extremely excited by years that, guys like Rowdy Tellez have had that are not that far away. Dalton Pompey is certainly a guy that can contribute. We've seen numerous bullpen guys come up and make a meaningful impact. And we still have some young players at the major league level, including an entire rotation, coming back next year and most of a bullpen. So position player-wise, that is a relatively true statement, Stephen. But again, there's, if you just go out and try to buy a team, you will find yourself, heading towards a cliff. So I think we need to think about, where we can strike in free agency, where we can make trades, what kind of other creative alternatives out there. And as we get more and more talent in our farm system, we certainly have to balance the age of the roster and think about where can we commit, strategically to young players as well, so that we don't ever face a cliff.
Mark, you mentioned a little earlier in our conversation about running into some real good right-handed pitching, which the team certainly has. In hindsight, would you have liked to added another, a more impactful left-handed bat to this lineup? Is that sort of the glaring, a glaring need right now?
It would be easy to, through a revisionist lens,
sure,
say that, a left-handed bat would be nice. But anybody in baseball that was looking at clubs would have said it didn't matter, left-handed, right-handed. You've got among the elite offenses in Major League Baseball, and they just happen to be right-handed. So to me, it's all about scoring runs and preventing runs. There are multiple ways to do that. In a perfect world, you'd have a balanced lineup. I look at what the Indians are doing this year with all the switch hitters they've got.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly been advantageous to them. I think allowed them to creatively, structure a really productive lineup, one that's actually very similar to us in productivity. So there are multiple ways to do it. There's no one way. If you just seek to be left-handed, and you compromise the hitter, that doesn't help anything. So we want to get great hitters, productive. productive hitters, and we've got a bunch of those in our lineup right now. Just happens to lean right-handed, so I don't think that's, you know, that's the primary area we'd look to address.
Yeah, because I guess the reason I was asking that is that you might think that with, you know, increased bullpen specialization, that having a platoon advantage becomes more and more important. And I thought about this when I watched the Indians, and they had all those switch hitters, and I thought, you know, man, how does it? That's got to be make things a little easier in Terry Francona, knowing that he's got what, four or five switch hitters in the lineup on an everyday basis.
Yeah, Tito would never tell you that.
But, no, of course not.
but it does. I mean, that's something that certainly helps as you construct a lineup.
Mark, have you had any, and I know you're not going to give me anything specific here, but generally, have you had any conversations with representatives of your pending free agents or during the course of this season?
Casual, but nothing, you know, I think nothing that's been very intense or substantive of nature. I think everybody here understands there is a time for having those conversations. Some players are, you know, desire to have those during the season, but most, you know, want things to transpire and recognize that there's a window. And if they still want to be here and we still want them here, then, you know, the timing doesn't matter whether you have it during the season or the end of the season. So our approach to it has been the same. The more information we have, the better ability we have to make a, you know, a large scale decision, both that impacts our team construction moving forward, as well as, you know, the resources we allocate to any individual player. So, and these guys, you know, have the ability to go out and kind of look through more clearly what the alternatives are if they're out in the free agent market. So, but again, I still believe if there are guys that want to be here, you know, and we still think that they can fit and be part of a championship team, not just, you know, collecting talent, but a championship team, we'll find a way to keep them here.
So not that it precludes them coming back, but the assumption would be then that they will, all of the pending free agents will go to market, that there's not going to be anything preemptive done.
Again, I don't like to speak in absolutes, but I think that's probably the most likely scenario.
Mark, you mentioned Rowdy Tellez, and I know we just got you for a few more minutes. I wanted to ask you this because this guy intrigues me. Here we have a left-handed hitter, big left-handed hitter, first baseman, DH, having a good year. He's going, I believe, he's going. Is he going to the Arizona Fall League?
No, he went there last year.
Sorry.
He's going to Dominican for the first half of the season there.
Okay.
And I just talked to him 2 days ago, and then he's going from there. He's actually moving to Dunedin, Tampa area, and he's going to just work on training because he obviously is a big guy and extremely mature. I mean, for 21 years old, you think about it, he's the same age as every college draft pick last year, and he just completed an entire AA season with over a 900 OPS and was one of the elite, you know, offensive years in really all of minor league baseball. So just a really impressive year, and maybe more impressive, just his mental approach, just the maturity for a 21-year-old.
Well, I was going to ask you that because going to the Dominican Republic to play winter ball is something guys used to do all the time. When I heard that, I mean, I've been around baseball long enough that when I hear a guy that age willing to go to the Dominican to play winter ball, I'm thinking, okay, this guy thinks he's on the fast track. Whether or not he is, he thinks he's on the fast track, doesn't he?
I was most impressed when I talked to him, just to congratulate him on his year. You know, he talked more about his defense, his conditioning, his, you know, maintaining, you know, all the things that go into keeping himself on the field. The fact that after he had his minor thumb injury because of a collision at first base, he was in the lineup every single day for the rest of the year. Never took a day off, and what that took mentally to be able to achieve that. You know, I really felt, and I told Ross this, it fired me up talking to him. It was one of the more focused, mature conversations I've had with a 21-year-old about his career and the way to approach it. I mean, he's confident his bat, you know, will carry him, but he also knows that he needs to be a complete player for us to commit to him and for him to help us win games. And more in baseball, I think that teams are looking at the complete player.
I know you only got a minute here, Mark, but Tellez in the field, because that was the question, is whether he could field the position first base well enough to, you know, not be a 21-year-old DH.
Huge strides this year. Still a lot of work to be done, but Bobby Meacham, you know, worked extremely hard with him there at Double A, and Rowdy committed. And again, I think in the end, players are going to be only as good as them taking ownership of their own career, recognizing what they need to work on and how important it is. And again, if you were to just get this guy on the phone tomorrow and you guys were to talk to him, I think he would naturally gravitate towards talking about his defense and preparation and his routines and his conditioning, which are all things that you hear elite players talk about. So long way to go before we talk about him in that context, but some really positive indicators that he could be a guy that enters into our plan in the next couple of years, which is great.
Hey, Mark, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. Like I said, I know it's going to be a busy weekend. It's going to be a big weekend. This is what September baseball is supposed to be all about, and we're really looking forward to it.
It's going to be electric down here, and as much as you get that clenched stomach for 3.5 hours, I'd much rather have that. That's what it's all about. You work your whole career to be in situations where it's agonizing, and we're going to agonize together and hopefully celebrate together when we get through this month.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care.
Mark.
Okay, take care, guys.